Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Once again, we're glad to have you with us this evening, and it's an exciting time to serve the Lord. I don't know what I'd do if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. And so we give our contact information on this evening. As always, the email is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Again, it's goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. And our telephone number related to the broadcast is 804-313-7853. You can call or text that number. We prefer that you text simply because oftentimes we don't recognize the number when it comes in and may not answer it. But if that does happen, just leave them a brief message and we'll get back to you. But we do take the text. On this evening, this is a Monday evening broadcast, and we're so delighted to come to you in tandem, the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer. And this evening is a bit interesting in that I was going to be a call-in listener on this evening and not your host. We did have a very special minister who's going to come and share his testimony. And his testimony was so sensitive in that the man has been through a lot, and we reached out and said, I think there's somebody out there that needs to hear your story and somebody that needs to hear your testimony. And he said, if I can give it. And so he had some heart conditions and is in a weak condition. And he said, but I want to speak for the Lord until I die. And that's a pretty powerful statement. I said, oh, yes, you got to come on air, and we want folk to hear this testimony that you have and how your faith can be so strong in the midst of declining health and troubling times. And so he came in this evening, and we had a little issue with the phone connection, and so he had some phone problems at his house. But once on the air, apparently, or may have actually gone into cardiac arrest, so we don't want that to happen, or it does have some of the symptoms of that, so we didn't want that to happen, so we discontinued the program. We thought it might be a bit much on this evening. So those that know the gentleman personally that I'm talking about, I don't want to alarm anybody or anything. It's just that he was not able to be in a position to do this program on this evening. We're so saddened by that continued stability. So we and not putting something out there. I don't want to say that something bad has happened, but there were some symptoms that we were not comfortable with. So that puts me back into presenting a broadcast on this evening, whereas I thought I was going to be a listener, I'm actually in the broadcast. It's interesting that on Friday evening, we came to present a teaching, and the teaching was actually on the idolatry, on the idolatry associated with the Christmas season, and it's going to be actually our kickoff show in that regard. And was I prepared for that one? I had something for that one, and we had some technical issues. Certainly, there was a tropical storm passing through at the time, and seemed to have interrupted our power supply. And so we were not able to offer a show at all on Friday. And I was checking my notes to see if I could do that one today, but I don't think I could do it sufficiently. So I want to talk a bit about what we do for our new listeners. I know we have a number of people that said they were listening for the first time today. And so what we are is Jeremiah Speaks Broadcast. We've been on the air for just over 2 months, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. each night, 7 until 7:30. We precede the Fivefold Ministry, which is on from 7:30 until 8, two separate, very separate programs that work together. So we come one behind the other. And even as on last week, sometimes one program will do the whole show. But on this evening, I want to first orient everyone that's listening to our program, and I gave the contact information. And just a quick rundown on who I am. My name is Gernard Reed. I've been a minister for a long time. And I'm a preacher and a teacher. And back during the pandemic, onset of the pandemic, I was frustrated. I'm not pastor of a church anywhere or anything. And I'm very active in a local convention. Was really frustrated that nobody was preaching or teaching or calling out some of the things that were going on in churches. And then as churches began to go into a shutdown, I was really frustrated with the messages that were coming forth. It was messages about money and messages about dire times. And even if you remember back in the beginning of the pandemic, on social media, everybody's quoting Psalm 91 and, you know, saying that the Lord is going to spare me because I believe in him. Well, we know that wasn't true. I don't want to be so blunt, but somebody needs to be blunt, is that a lot of good folk died in the pandemic from the virus. I mean, a lot of good folk died. I mean, I know some folk that were righteous, holy, that I looked up to, and I went to their funerals, graveside funerals, and some I couldn't go to their funerals because they were cremated because of the chaos. And then for somebody to read a scripture and say that I'm accepted and God is going to favor me and that, no. In a pandemic, it's a pandemic, and it falls on the righteous as well as the unjust. So I was really frustrated with that in the onset. And then as time began, we stopped saying those things and began to point fingers at the government, and, you know, it's about the stimulus. It's about everything except Almighty God, and that he still sits on the throne and he still provides. And I began to get upset with churches and leadership in churches and leadership in associations and leaderships in different groups. And one organization, one denomination just said across the country, all churches are closed. That's the end of it. The pastor's not allowed to go on the property, and just denomination all across the, and that was it. Well, what about the sheep? Who's looking after the sheep? Who's feeding the sheep? Then we came with the Zoom services and the teleconference services. And all of these were great, but they were just preaching. And I mean, some churches were doing something different. I sat in a town, and the town, a little town, I don't know, a few hundred people in this little town, in a Main Street grant, they call it. Well, that's what they call it, but it was actually a block grant from the state. And they were in the middle of, they had painted murals on many of the buildings that beautied up this little town. It just made it a nice place to visit. And like all little towns in Virginia, they put a brewery in, they put a kids' park and a playground in. They'd done all this stuff, and then the virus came, and they couldn't open these places. They were all closed. And they had this money sitting in the bank for the development. And so the town council started meeting every week, And then all the churches closed. Well, almost all the churches. There are a handful that were still open. But the churches are closed. And the town met and said, well, we've got this money. Let's petition the state to see if we can use it to help the people in the town. So the town only has one drugstore, and the town has one supermarket. And the town has a police force of about three to five people and other little things that little towns have. And so they had about three restaurants, and one restaurant was about to open right at the time the pandemic hit, and so they went ahead and opened and hired people, in fact. And so what the town council came up with was you're supposed to stay in your houses. It's a shut-in right now and shut down. And so if you're a senior citizen, we want you to stay home. We'll get your medicines for you from the drugstore. The police will bring the medicine to your house and leave it on your porch. All you have to do is call in and sign up. We don't want to bring something that you don't want, and we don't want to force ourselves on you, but we're going to look out for our people. And the state has authorized us to take some of those funds to fund this process since we can't do the development right now, and the state says we'll work it all out in the end. They even went on a radio and started they breaking it down into like $10 or something, and they call it Main Street Bucks or something like that. It might have been something related to the virus, the name of it. But anyhow, it was some kind of bucks, and you could win these bucks. So now they had some excitement going where you could call in Corona Bucks and win Corona Bucks. And when they opened up, when the shutdown was over, you could go to the stores around town and redeem them. Because remember, the forecast across the country for the pandemic was that 75% of restaurants would close. Somebody else would eventually open those places, even the same chain, but the ownership, based on what they were projecting, the ownership would 75% of these restaurants across the United States would actually close, and we know many did. You know, some we've never seen again, and some that were faithful in the town had actually closed. Well, this town said, not only are we not going to lose any of our three restaurants, we're going to add some restaurants, which they have. And, of course, the town is thriving now. But they said that we're going to give away these Corona Bucks, and the state has allowed us to do this with this money, so that our folk can, and not just the folk of this little town, but in the whole region, can win these bucks. And when these restaurants open back up, they can redeem them for free food. And in the meantime, the restaurants will also cook lunch and dinner every day. And you can call and get your lunch and dinner, not Grubhub, not the regular, the ones that we use, but the police will bring your meal to you and leave it in a container on your porch. When they leave, you come out and get your meal. No virus has been transmitted, any of that. Everything's safe. They kept their restaurants going because they had lunch orders and all of this all day. They kept the supermarket going because this supermarket just happened to be one of the ones that had a way you could call in. Not call it. Yeah, well, I guess you could go online and order your groceries with a debit or credit card and drive up, and they would load your car for you. So you didn't have to go in the store anyhow, even though the grocery store is never closed. So lots of people were using that where you drive in and get your groceries. And then the elderly folks of the town, the police were bringing the groceries that you had ordered online. They would bring them to your house and sit them on the porch. So now, while Black Lives Matter and other groups were out there protesting the police and talking about defunding the police and all of that, their police were actually busy delivering groceries, delivering medicine, securing the neighborhoods to make sure everything was where it's supposed to be, doing that job, and even getting overtime because money had been set aside. And I said publicly, the best church in the United States that I've seen is this town right here, because they were meeting every week. And what was the purpose of that meeting? How can we bless our residents? So now it's 3 years later, this town is thriving. I mean, they're thriving. Not only do they have a park, they just put in another park. And they continue to meet, and they continue to ask, what can we do to better our towns? Well, as a man called of God,
had somebody who was fasting at the time back in April, or March and April of 2020, and trying to find my way and trying to find why am I so frustrated and how come I want to help, but I don't know how to help. And I'm looking at this town, and I'm looking at closed churches. And then eventually churches started doing parking lot services, but please excuse me, most of it was entertainment. It was just more preaching. Man, we get a lot of good preachers. It's a whole lot of good preachers. I love to hear a good word every now and then, but what I stood up in my church and said, because the church I attend never closed, and what I stood up and said is, I've been in training for nearly 60 years to do God's will. Nearly 60 years of preaching and teaching, I've been in training. When do I get to use this? And when do we as a church body leadership get to use this? And where is the person that's saying, you've been trained enough. It's time for us to go serve our people. And at our church, we could not help but to see what the town was doing. And the town was providing the example, our sheep first, our residents first, our members first. We want to make sure they got their medication. We want to make sure they're eating well. We want to make sure that they're comfortable. We want to make sure there are no issues and that they're not worried about crime or anything else. We're looking out for our own folks. And then they started with the parade. The school, which was closed, we have one of the best schools. I put them up against anybody, one of the best school districts in this small town. The school decided that we want to go see our kids. The schools are closed. They were closed for the rest of the year in 2020. We want to go see our, all the teachers got together and did a parade and went through all the neighborhoods that the buses go through. And they waved and they blew and the kids ran out in the yard and waved at them. And the teachers went to see their kids. I wish I had a witness here that could say amen to that, because this is the best preaching I've done in a long time, is that they got their minds off of the SOLs, got their minds off of the standardized tests, got their minds off of themselves and the fact that they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that, but they could drive the car, and made parades and went through the neighborhoods and to see their kids. That means that the teachers, not all teachers participated, but most did, the teachers missed their kids. Not just missed teaching, but they missed seeing the faces of that student. They were concerned about how my students, because the superintendent of schools told me this, about 6 months into that, certainly past the close of the school year, he told me he had 300 students that were not accounted for. He didn't know what happened to them, whether the families had moved, whether the phone numbers had changed. He had no contact with 300 of his students in that school district. So, yeah, they missed them. And the ones they could find, they went to see them. Now that leads me back to the church, because the school is not a church. The town is not a church. What was the church doing? Still saying, come to us, we have a parking lot service. Or don't come to us because our doors are closed until the government says we can open back up. I appreciate being safe. I appreciate following instructions from the state and being obedient. I appreciate all of those things. But what about the sheep in the meantime? I got a superintendent out there now trying to find 300 of his students that have no obligations over the summer. He just want to know where they are. There's a town out there that's worrying about somebody getting the right medicine and getting it on time. And what's the shepherd of the sheep doing? I don't know. So I kept going to the Lord with this cause, and I'm fasting, and I'm angry, and I'm frustrated, and I'm not doing much of anything. Basically, I'm just not eating. I'm not really doing much spiritually. I'm just not eating. And so I go before the Lord, and actually I was working. Now, I was working outside with my hands. And I went home one day. I said, look, that's enough of that for the day. And then just went home. And when I got home, I hadn't read in my Bible, I know, for over a week. It had been a while. And I opened the Bible up to Galatians. And I just started reading probably the first chapter. And it was like I'd never seen this book before. And I began to read Galatians. It was so exciting. It was so exciting. Now, I got something to drink. And, again, I'm fasting. And so I'm in anybody that fasts on a regular, you know, you get super sensitive and you're just outside of yourself. And I'm all angry and I'm reading this Galatians like I've never seen this book before. And believe it or not, I have read the Bible before. So I've read the Bible before. But I'm reading this like I've never seen it before. And the phone rings. And I looked at the phone. I said, I can't answer that right now because I'm reading this Galatians, and I can't answer the phone. But the Spirit of God said to me, answer the phone. So I answered the phone. And the lady says, I'm a secretary with Lot Carey International Foreign Mission Convention. And I used to be a member of Lot Carey. I'm very familiar with it. My convention sends money in delegates every year. Very familiar with it. And she said, President Jackson wants to speak with you. Now, this is the president of an international foreign missions society. Somebody I've never seen, never met. I know who he is, but why would he want to speak to me? Especially in the middle of a shutdown. I said, what in the world? So I said, yeah, put him through. So I think he called back, actually. And so I'm in the midst of reading Galatians, my best reading I've had all month. And all of a sudden I got the deal that was somebody interrupting me, but the Spirit did answer the phone. So President Jackson called, and I speak to him, and he said, Mr. Reed, we realize that you used to be a member of Lot Carey and that you have not been active for the last few years. And I said, yeah, I withdrew myself because of something. I disagreed with something that was a position. I still support it, but I no longer go to sessions and send in money. And he said, we have gotten together here as a group. I don't have a convention this year because it's pandemic, and then churches in shutdown and whatnot. And we've gotten together, and we're trying to figure out, see, we still need to help our folk on the ground all over the world. The pandemic is worldwide. We can't shut down. Well, I wish I had a witness here that knew that that's what I needed to hear. And he said, so what we are looking at is our task is greater, but our funds will be less because churches are shut down. And so we're calling people who used to be active and asking if they will do three things. I'm excited now because this is what I've been praying for. And I said, so what you're saying is all these ministries in Africa, they will still go on, and we're going to do more than we've been doing. We just don't know where the money's coming from. But it's coming. We just don't know where it's coming from. And can you count on you to help us? And I said, well, I'm not pastor of a church anymore. I'm not just one person. Well, can we get a donation from you? Yes. I tell you what, I can guarantee you my association will give you level funding for the next 2 years at least. So we won't give you any less than we've been giving you. I can guarantee you that, but I'm going to do my best to double it. He said, okay, that's great. That's great. But first of all, I would like three things. Well, that was the first thing. The second thing is I would like to pray for you, but you have to tell me what you want. What is that one thing that you like? Well, I told him what was going on, and he prayed for that thing. And then he said, I would like for you to pray for me that I have the strength to continue with this effort, what we try to do with Lot Carey. Well, Lot Carey did pull that off. They're thriving right now. They continue to thrive because they blessed people during the pandemic. But then I talked to a pastor friend of mine and her husband. We talked for like a couple of hours, and I told him what had happened. And then she said, well, you got your answer. I was looking for Bishop T.D. Jakes, for a Bishop Creflo Dollar, for a Joel Osteen to rise and lead people and stop telling stories in the pulpit and start giving instructions.
No.
This is how we need to serve right now. Mm-hmm. And this is the time. Because they have leadership and they have authority. They have a vehicle to reach millions of people every day. And I thought, and millions of pastors even, and I thought maybe this is what God was going to send, and they didn't emerge. Remember, if you notice, we have a pandemic every 100 years, just like clockwork, every 100 years, there's a pandemic. And this is the very first on record. 2020 is the very first on record, has not been followed by a great world revival. And that's a problem, is that our generation would happen to be the one that thinks we are so smart and came up with a vaccine really quick, which we did. I'm happy about that. But we think we are so smart that we didn't need God after all. That's where we are now. And so the church is in free fall in the United States. It's in decline. It's under 50% of Americans even say that they're Christians. Under 50%. And so now we're in free fall. We didn't even need a revival in this pandemic because we got through somehow. That is kind of the mindset of a lot, but it starts with some of our leadership. So they shared with me, they said, you're that person. Oh, my goodness, I got busy. I'm still fasting. I'm eating for weeks. And I hit the books, and I started making all these plans and so forth. And what arose was the Jeremiah Speaks ministry. And then God essentially said to me, you need to look beyond what your pandemic. Don't get caught up in the pandemic. I'm a post-pandemic God as well. You need to look beyond that. And so we started social media, got really busy on social media, putting things out there and sharing a lot of things. But the Jeremiah Speaks ministry became devoted to idolatry in the church. And now there's idolatry all around it. I mean, people serve all kinds of stuff, animals and objects and each other and their children and themselves. That's all around us. But we are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So that's not the focus. The focus became the idolatry in the church, the practices and witchcraft, the practices which we do within the church, the local church assembly, not necessarily the building, but that too, the local church assembly that are idolatry and witchcraft. For example, it is rare to go to a funeral in a church now and not have somebody, a grandchild, a niece, nephew, spouse, read a letter to the dead person. God doesn't condone us talking to the dead. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes. We don't talk to the dead because they're dead. We talk to the living. We support one another. We support the person who just lost a loved one. But for them, the dead, they have no response for us. That's witchcraft, to talk to the dead. But in pretty much every funeral we have now, I have some more toes, step on some more toes. There's no such thing as a heavenly birthday. That smacks eternal life in the faith. You can't have both. If you're going to have birthdays, you're not operating in eternal life. If you're operating in eternal life and you're with God, you're not having a birthday. That's mortalizing heaven. That's mortalizing God's plan. God didn't ask us to do that. Jesus doesn't have birthdays. Let that go. Worship God and thank God for eternal life for that person that we're celebrating. When we start celebrating people that are long gone, we're saying we don't think they made it to heaven. I don't think we had a right to make that call. Oh, look it up in the scriptures for yourself. Check it for yourself. So all of these things, and this is on dozens of them, that we just routinely do, they have nothing to do with Christ. And so let me start with this message. Now, the reason it's named Jeremiah Speaks is because Jeremiah was undeniably, when they look at the canon, when they canonized the books of the Bible, Jeremiah went in immediately. They knew it went in. They know who wrote Jeremiah. We're not sure who wrote a whole lot of the books of the Bible, over half. But we are definitely sure the man named Jeremiah wrote Jeremiah. And the people of Jeremiah's time realized that Jeremiah was a prophet. Everybody recognized him as a prophet. One problem, nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. But God's message to Jeremiah was, you say it anyhow. You preach anyhow. You prophesy anyhow. And I don't care if nobody listens. Jeremiah, at one point in that 29, the one that we quote all the time, he didn't want to hear his own preaching. But he had to say it. And so I chose that because the ministry is not to abolish idolatry in the church. That would be nice. It's to address it. Say that. Everybody ain't going to listen. And sometimes nobody will listen. So that's why it's called Jeremiah Speaks. Now we've met up with Apostle Margie Mercer, who is about to come on the air in a few seconds. And we came in tandem, and now we have the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast where we can minister this message to thousands every week and 6 days a week. So this is the story of Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Don't get overly excited about, don't get hysterical that our speaker didn't come on. We will check on him that he'll be fine. But in the meantime, keep the faith, keep praying, and if you're new, we want you to come back tomorrow night and join us at 7 o'clock. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We turn it over now to the fivefold ministry with Apostle Margie Mercer.
Reverend Reed, what was the brother that was due to speak tonight? What is his name?
Minister Lawrence Weldon.
How do you spell his last name? Weldon, W-E-L-D-O-N?
Yes.
Did he give you anything about his testimony? Did he tell you why he wanted to preach and teach the gospel of his testimony, what God did for him? Did he share anything?
Well, we know each other. We grew up together. We've known each other all of our lives. In the last 10 years, he's been set with an unbelievable amount of separate but interconnected health issues that have included foot amputation, from time to time unable to walk, and now most recently is that his heart is in serious decline and only a small percentage of his heart is operating. But he has to limit his activities to next to nothing to be able to make it through a day. So he's really struggled. But his faith has increased because he did not become a minister until after he had gotten sick. And he said the call was on him, but he had actually avoided the call. That's one of the things he's going to talk about, is that he said, Lord, I yield. Yes, Lord, I'll preach your word. I'll preach your word. And we didn't realize what he was going through. And, you know, when he says, you know, I can't work anymore. Right? I can't, there's something wrong with my legs. I can't walk. And we couldn't appreciate that until it progressively got worse. But as his body got weaker, his faith got stronger. And we know that's not the case with everybody. Some people crumble and fall apart when illness and sickness hits them. And his family has rallied around him at every turn. And he's taking his pain like a champ. Because, you know, we men struggle with pain. But that's really been his testimony, is that the faith increased when the body started to break down.
Okay. I would like us, the Bible says, where two or three gathered that he's in the midst. The Bible says, my stripes you are healed, speaking of Jesus. The Bible says that we can say to any mountain, be thou removed. The Bible says that faith is what moves God. And if we believe it, we can receive it. And that we just have to ask for a miracle. And we're going to pray for Minister Lawrence Weldon. I want you to start it off. We're going to go, as I always say, I like to go to what I call the inner court, where I go in the presence of God and reach out for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. By that time, we're behind the veil and we're in worship. So I want us to pray for Brother Lawrence Weldon. We got 30 minutes if we have to, and we're going to pray him through, and we're going to acknowledge him tonight. Because one thing about ministry, when you do stuff for God, the devil comes up every time. If you don't get in children, he get in your health, he get in family, get in your job, something happened with your car. He don't want that testimony to go forth. But you said Brother Weldon is a minister, and that he wanted to give his testimony for God, and you gave that. So now we're going to pray. We're going to ask all the listeners that where two or three are gathered, God, in the midst. So we're going to touch and agree all of the nations of the world. We're going to pray for him. Reverend Reed going to lead us out, and I'm going to pick it up. And you know I'm unorthodox, so I do what I do. But Reverend Reed, you go ahead and just pray and lead us off for Lawrence Weldon, specifically for him. Amen.
Amen. Right. Eternal God and our righteous King, Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your word, and we've actually circled in our Bible and pinpointed in your word in Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 19th verse, that if two shall agree as to touching anything on earth, that you will give it to them by your Father which is in heaven. And so we know that Jesus said those words, and those words are eternal. We realize that in the same book and two verses later, you say, as the apostle has just stated, that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst. So we beseech you in our midst right now, and you know our condition and our circumstances, because you allowed us to come before thee on the air on this evening. You put us in this place, in this time, and nothing is done by accident or coincidence in the plan of Almighty God. So, Father, in understanding your plan, while operating in your plan, we understand that it is your plan that the will of God will go and all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is also not your plan for us to be sickly.
It is not your plan for us to be lonely. It's not your plan for us to be hopeless. But it is the will of God that all men might be as you have them. So, Father, we come having engaged Brother Weldon to come on today. And he came on long enough to basically plead for prayer. And his action has spoken louder than his words because he was modest and didn't say much in words, but in his actions he's indicated that he's walked into a forum where prayer works. And he's walked into a forum where we can come together, and people that have never met him and that never heard him speak on this evening are in a position now to pray. Well, you say about faith that if we have faith even as a grain of mustard seed that we can speak unto this mulberry tree and say, be thou cast down into the sea, and it will be removed and cast into the sea. We say that we can move mountains with the minor faith, but we have major and great faith among us this evening. As our listeners, many have great faith and conquering faith, and many are strong in prayer and in standing in the gap for others. So we stand in the gap for our minister, Lawrence Weldon. We pray, Father, that you'll bless him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Bless God and keep him according to your will and your holiness. We pray, Heavenly Father, that his heart, which is troubling him at this particular time, in spite of all else that's going on around him, we pray, Father, for the medicines, for the treatments. We pray that all of that works in conjunction with your will. And then we pray, Father, that your will be done in his spirit, that your will be done in his physical heart. And, Father, that you will prop him up on every leaning side, put him back on his feet, stabilize him according to the will and the way of the Lord. Lord, we call this to be done. We single out this one thing, for you said if we pray for anything that you will give it to him. So we pray for that restoration of his heart on this evening. Father, we believe to be done because you are worthy to that you are God who does provide and deliver. Lord, we give you all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. And, Father, I'm in agreement with Reverend Reed. Father, we rebuke that demon. We bind him up. We send him back to the pit of hell. You are defeated, Satan. You didn't want him to get on this air to glorify God. But guess what? Minister Lawrence Weldon have glorified God in prayer, in united prayer. So you're still defeated. Father, we stand on the blood of Calvary. We stand on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we ask you, our Father. We ask you, Daddy. We ask for a divine intervention. Hey! Hallelujah. Father, I ask that you bless him right now. I'm in agreement with Reverend Reed that you touch his heart. Father, heal those heart valves. Hey, hallelujah, Father. Line them up in his chest the way they're supposed to be and let it function according to the grace and will and your purpose of the Holy Ghost. Father, give him the strength. You said if we can believe it, we can receive it. And God, we're coming in this prayer because we believe it. We believe that you, a doctor, in a hospital, you're a lawyer in a courtroom. Hey, you could do anything but fail. Father, bind up the naysayer, bind up the critics, bind up the judgment of negative people who always want to come up against anything dealing with God and be used by Satan himself. But God, we are loosing the presence, the peace, the unified body of Christ, that we are in agreement that Reverend Lawrence Weldon, Father, will be healed. No heart attack. No strokes, no aneurysm, nothing that would cause him to have to go to the emergency room and, Father, and IVs go all through him. We speak a miracle, God. We're speaking by faith that he will get stronger, that he will be, Father, build up in his faith, build up in encouragement to know that that message got out tonight. His message is prayer to unify and do what God tell you to do. Hey, before it's too late. God, I'm asking right now for all the listeners right now to come in agreement, to pray for him, to pray that his mind has peace, to pray that his heart be restored, to pray that the gifts be stirred up, to pray that his health is strong enough on his going out and coming in, that the pain shall cease. God, you can do anything but fail. We praying for the whole arm of God, Father, to be released all over him supernaturally, spiritually, that he's girded up, that next time we will hear his testimony about what God did for him tonight. Hey, hallelujah.
Yes.
Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to glorify your name. We thank you for the broadcast. We thank you for the listeners. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for divine healing for for Reverend Lawrence Weldon. We thank you, God, that the prayer is so important, that we learn how to pray ye for one another in love, in mercy, and in your grace. We are so very thankful, God, for you. We thank you for binding up the hand of the adversary. The devil is a liar. He's defeated. His name still went out over the air, and he still got the victory to talk about the God that he served. Even with no legs, he's serving God. Even in pain, he's serving God. Even with his heart problem that he had, he's serving God. So say you defeated. He still got the victory, and God still will be glorified on this radio station. We are in agreement, and we speak it. We decree and declare by the mercy and grace and the blood-stained banner of Christ in Calvary's Corner. We thank you, God, of Calvary's Cross, that Jesus made it possible, but by his stripes, nobody else's stripes, but by his stripes, we are healed, and we have a chance to mercy, grace, miracle, signs, and wonders. It says, we'll follow them that believe. Amen.
Amen.
What does it mean before you hang it up, hang up, that miracle, signs, and wonders will follow them that believe? What does that mean?
That is so simple and self-explanatory, coming from the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. It closes out by saying these signs shall follow them that believe. It means the believers are the church. The believers are the called out community. And the believers are not, you know, not just one or two people, but the called out community is going to be different because they have miracle signs and wonders all around them, almost to the point that it becomes commonplace like it was for Jesus in Capernaum. And once again, the ministry, my ministry is the authority given to the church, is that we don't exercise that authority. We don't realize how powerful we actually are, and that we can call out things just two or three people gathered together. Rarely do we see God giving it to one person to operate within it and himself, but he gives it to groups, two or three or more, and that, just think about it, if you could get five people to come together in agreement on something, they're unstoppable. And he says even two or three are unstoppable. And that's where the signs, miracles, and wonders come. Are they alive and well? Yes. Is the power there and the authority? Yes. It's just a matter of us putting our heads together and agreeing upon what we're asking for.
God bless you. You've heard it from Reverend Reed. I'm with the Fivefold Ministry. We believe in miracle signs and wonders and the evidence of miracle signs and wonders to come forth. We believe to intercede, to lay hands, to prophesy. We believe in intercessory prayer and prevailing prayer, that even one could chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 in flight. And I'm talking about demons. So we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. That I remember one time when I said, God, I have nobody to pray with me. And I said, those that's around my circles have left. And God said, I intercede for you on the right hand of the Father, so I pray for you. So I'm saying to you, you're never alone. It's good we're in groups, and we're on this phone tonight, and we are in agreement. Whichever way you want to come at it, that we are praying for Minister Lawrence Weldon, who was a guest speaker for Jeremiah Speaks tonight, and we're looking forward to his testimony. And thank you so much, Reverend Reed. We appreciate all that you do on this air, bringing in the preachers and speakers and rightly dividing the word and even interrupting your schedule that you had tonight so you could go forth. God bless you. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add before I close the end of the broadcast?
This is why we're on air, and this is what we're all about. And I think tonight's an example of leadership wanting to do something. And there's always something we can do. And so I would say to anybody that's listening, just remember it's always something we can do and that we can bless other folk by just doing something. And so I think tonight we pray. That is one of the greatest somethings I think we can do to help this brother out. It's been a good evening. I just, in spite of anything that may have happened or be happening, it's been a good evening because we get a chance to exercise the authority that God's given us. Walk in it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And my message is for those of you, and it ties right in, is thanks to I was following the lead of Reverend Reed, and we were looking at Matthew's, the 16th chapter, the 23rd verse, and it says, Satan, get behind me. I'll say it again, that you have to walk in authority like Reverend Reed said and believe that the power of the Holy Ghost dwell inside of you. When you are saved and when you have accepted the death, burial, and resurrection, you have authority and you have power. And I want to say it again. The title of the message is Satan, Get Behind Lawrence Welder, Minister Lawrence Welder. And look at verse 23. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Good God Almighty. I'll say it again. You got to stand on it. Tell that devil, get behind me. God bless you, Reverend Reed. Thanks for your time. I'm going to close out the broadcast with some Samadhi.
Thank you.
And I'm going to play that. We never would have made it.
Amen.
Step sings that. God bless you, sir. Have a nice evening.
And that's the song that Minister Weldon requested was Marvin Sapp. Never could have made it. And he did tell me today, he said, I started to call and tell her to change the song, but I'm glad he held on to that one.
Yeah,
thank
so in salute of Minister Lawrence Weldon, I'm going to play it in its entirety, but let me say this is our disclaimer. When we play music of different artists, we use it for promotional reason, to encourage you to buy the CDs and for their sales. We don't get paid for this. We just glorify God by using music that could get that message across. But let us salute the healing virtue, the power of our Lord and our Savior, who sits high and look low, that we never would have made it by Marvin Sapp in its entirety. God bless you, Reverend Reed. Have a nice evening.
It all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you are the one I held on to. Testify to something next to him. Come on. I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. I need it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it. Tell them never could have made it.
Yes, we never would have made it without the presence of God, and God bless you. We thank you so much. You was listening to Reverend Reed of Jeremiah Speaks each day of the week, Monday through Fridays from 7 o'clock to 7:30, and again on Sunday mornings from 8:30 to 9. We thank God that Minister Lawrence Weldon showed up tonight and had us to unify into prayer, because we would have never made it. We thank God so much. Now you are listening to myself. I am the host of the Fivefold Ministry, Apostle Margie Mercer. I'm on from 7:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock. And again, I'm on Sunday mornings from 9 o'clock to 10. Our message is simple. We just deal with Ephesians 4:11 through 17, where we deal with the pastors, apostles, the preachers, the teacher, the evangelists. We go forth in ministry. We preach, we prophesy, we decree and declare the grace and the power of God, and we like to go into what I call the inner courts. The inner courts is when you get into a certain position of worshiping God, where you forget about things to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you. You be still, and you feel the presence of God. You want his outpouring. On the day of Pentecost, there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hey! Hallelujah, because they all had to be on one accord. They had to have like mind, spirits, and bodies. So I believe we are on one accord. We have heard that beautiful, beautiful testimony from the young man himself, that he said that he would preach and teach the gospel regardless of the situation and regardless of the circumstances. So God bless you again. We thank you so much for listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. And remember, you are never lost when you got God on your side. And this is not the place or the time to give up on your faith now. But God bless you. And remember, God can do anything but fail. Because this ain't the time. As Reverend Reed said earlier, we're dealing so much that's trying to come at us. But you know what? You just got to stand. Stand and say, for God I live, for God I die, because this ain't the time to give up on your faith. So let us listen to Marvin Sapp. God bless you, and stay tuned for us tomorrow, and have a nice evening. God bless you.
Yes, the songwriter says this is not a time to give up on your faith. God knows this is not a time. You know why? Because our God is able. He can do all things but fail. Yes, he is. He is our Alpha and Omega. He is our beginning and our end. He is our Papa, our Daddy, our friend, our Lord, and our Savior. He's everything that we ever will need. Good God Almighty. Let us listen to Jeff Major's song 23, and remember, stay tuned for us again tomorrow night, and God bless you. And God, thank you so much for the healing virtue that you sent to Minister Lawrence Weldon. God, thank you so much, because you can do anything but fail. God, if we believe it, we can receive it. Good God Almighty, we believe it, God. Amen.